Okay, welcome to TWIM with Seth, Andy, and Ben. We're two brothers and a cousin who discuss all the movies in wide release, starting with the top box office from last week, reviews of movies opening this week, and previews of movies coming out next week. So the way we do it is last week, this week, and next week. So that's how we do it. We won't spoil any of these movies without first giving you a warning. Last week, the only new entry to the top 10 box office was Us.
You know how sometimes things line up?
Yeah.
You know, like coincidences. Since we've been here, they've been happening more and more. I feel like it means like she's getting closer.
Who? The mirror girl?
You don't believe me.
I do. I do. I'm processing.
And we did a spoiler review of Us in last week's episode, episode 17. Any new insights from that movie?
I just wish I could see it again. I really wanted to see it again this week.
Okay, first of all, I caught up on Get Out during this week.
Oh,
and
good.
Get Out is excellent. I want to say almost better than Us. They were both really good, kind of similar.
And there were some parallels in the characters and stuff.
I thought it was interesting, Seth, how you said he was a comedy writer, the director.
Yeah. Ben, have you watched any episodes of Key and Peele?
No. Well, long time ago, I just saw like one.
Well, Jordan Peele is all over YouTube doing interviews. A lot of interviews from Get Out, but also some interviews from Us. And I've listened to like five interviews with him. I really like to listen to him talking about the movie. Like he's obviously really smart, but I think all the symbolism, like you go to the movie, you watch it, you try and understand it, you try and come up with theories, but like I think in his mind everything's a lot deeper, and hearing him talk about it is really enlightening in both movies.
Do you think that you have a crush on him?
I do. Yep, I've got a man crush for sure.
That to me, Us, it wasn't super enjoyable the whole time, but I felt like it's a must see. Like it was really cool.
How was it not enjoyable, out of curiosity?
Well, it's a slasher, right? It's like a horror movie. So it's not giving you warm and fuzzies. That's what I mean by that. Like,
it was scary.
Like when they stab the family in front of you. Yeah, that is.
The only thing I thought of last week was, I remember when we were talking about it last week, I said, man, they were carrying around these big gold scissors and I just didn't quite get it. And I was like thinking too hard about it. Like it was just scissors represent cutting the tether, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, scissors are also symmetrical, just like the number 11, how it's actually two knives put together. Somebody mentioned that. I thought, yeah, that's something.
Oh, okay.
But did anyone say anything about like the Greek gods that like would cut the thread of people's lives, the muses?
I didn't see anything like that. I mean, there were so many things you could take from it, and I think they were all valid.
Yeah, I guess we talked about the rabbit's association with the magician last week. Did we talk about that?
Yeah. Well, I made a joke about pulling rabbits out of the hat, but we talked a lot about rabbits. Okay.
But yeah, that seemed to be consensus, though, that rabbits are associated with magicians. Ben, I thought your insight about the cages was the best, actually, to do with the rabbit. Did you notice that? Anyway, there's a lot of theories online, and they're really interesting to listen to. I guess I'll just leave it at that, unless we do another spoiler section for Us.
Maybe at the end we could do another one.
I don't know what else there is to say. There's I just want to see it again. I want to see it again knowing like how it all plays out.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed Get Out. Like I was on Sunday, I was like, Karen, you're watching this rated R horror movie with me. I don't care if you try and leave. You're watching it. I just rented it. I paid for it already. You got to
on
watch
Amazon
it.
Prime, right?
On iTunes.
Okay. So I rented it on Amazon Prime and it led off saying there's an alternate ending. So stay till after the credits to see the regular ending.
Oh.
So which ending did you get?
Well, I watched on iTunes. I didn't see the alternate ending, but I did listen to an interview with Jordan Peele talking about the alternate endings that he came up with when he wrote the script.
Yeah, so the one I mean, it's been out long enough. I think we can just talk about it. The way the alternate ending is that at the very end, a police car pulls up. And it's not the police, it's his friend who works for the TSA.
Oh, wait, that's the real ending or the alternate ending?
Because
that's the ending I saw.
Yeah, I think that's the new ending. Because he said he wrote the movie during like the Obama era. And the point was to say, racism still exists, guys, come on. But then by the time the movie came out, Trump was in office. And he was like, okay, wait, racism is like out of control. We got to like change up the ending.
Andy took off his headphones while you were talking about that, so he wouldn't.
Oh, he didn't want to hear the spoiler?
Nuh-uh.
So there was some anti anti-Americanism in us. And
anti-Americanism?
Yeah. When the tethered come and the dad says, "Who are you guys?" And she says, "We're Americans."
Yeah, we're Americans. Do you remember that part? Yeah, to me it was like, oh, okay, they're just like us.
But then he was talking about how the title of the movie is Us, and it could be understood to be U.S. or United States.
Uh-huh.
He was on Seth Meyers' show talking about racism, I guess, just this week. And he said something like, oh, yeah, it's... Oh, they were saying, is there going to be a theme park ride for Get Out? And he said, oh, yeah, it's called America.
I know, obviously, again, Get Out was a sensation, continues to be. That you have an idea for a Get Out you've been pitching. Not a Get Out sequel, a Get Out ride.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, because I work with Universal Studios.
Yeah.
So I have the fast track. So I've been pitching the ride. You've got to be...
It doesn't, naturally, it doesn't... When you see that film, you don't think, oh, this is definitely going to have an amusement park ride.
No, you don't presume that. And they haven't bit yet.
Okay.
You know, I'm still waiting for the response. But the pitch is, like, you have to be this color or darker to enter.
Okay.
No. These are the jokes. But no, it turns out there is already a Get Out ride in existence. It's called America.
Oh, boy.
So I would just love to hear him explain that a little more. Like, I think it must be Trump. I think it's because of Trump and the climate. People are feeling like we didn't realize how racist America is. And now that Trump's in office, we realize that, like, but I don't know. I would like to hear him explain it, though. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but I just want to know what he means exactly.
So, do you think it was, U.S. is us?
I think you can take that interpretation, but I did not.
Yeah, but that's the authorial intent, according to Jordan Peele. I mean, he wrote it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I mean, he's the one that said it.
And what I was going to say, if that's true, it kind of makes you feel like that because, I mean, remember we're on the cruise, there's like all these people behind the scenes serving
us? Yeah, on the Twim cruise, right? All of our staff?
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about it, like
we were talking about that last week. Yeah,
there's like privileged and unprivileged in the world, right? And as Americans, we're like part of this privileged class. And in the movie Us, the tethered were like, I think that was symbolic of like, you know, when the dad got put on the glasses for the first time, like the tethered dad, it's like he's never been able to have glasses until that moment.
He put them on and he was probably just faking the motion the whole time because he was like shadowing everything. And same when their neighbors, the tethered, put on the lipstick. And you could see on her face the sensation, like she'd never put lipstick on before. She'd always just like mind it.
Yeah, that's interesting, huh? By the way, did you know that that actor, that blonde lady, she's the lead in A Handmaid's Tale? No. Oh, is she in Reno 911?
I don't know. Is she?
Karen is watching A Handmaid's Tale right now.
Oh.
Karen's like binging that, and she's the lead in that TV show. But she looked so different in Us, I didn't even recognize. Oh, and the dad, Winston, I can't remember his name, but he in Black Panther, Lupita Nyong'o is in it as like one of the warrior women. But the dad is the one that takes down Black. No, doesn't take
is
him
he
down,
the challenger?
He's the challenger. Yeah, he's the challenger. So they're actually in a scene together in Black Panther. Those two,
the both dads.
Just the one dad.
It's just
okay.
And this is something else I learned this week too, listening to an interview. Ben, you've seen Black Mirror, right? You know that there's an episode in the first season called, I think it's called A Million Credits or something, where they're on exercise bikes and they...
Oh, yeah.
So the guy in that is the lead of Get Out. Did you realize
that? Oh, it's that same guy?
Yeah. I didn't put it together because when he speaks with an American accent, you don't recognize him.
Well, the movie Us and the movie Get Out, they could have easily been Black Mirror episodes.
Yes. Did you know Jordan Peele is doing a Twilight Zone that comes out at the beginning of April?
No. I want to see
it. It's like really hotly anticipated because Jordan Peele
what's
is
it going to be
right
on?
Now. I'm not sure what network it's on, but I'll be watching it for sure. Okay, so I just want to say one spoiler thing while we're talking about Us. I'll take this part of it and put it at the end.
And I just want to say we are adding a section to our podcast about my dating escapades.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we can save it all for Andy.
Okay, good. I can't
Andy
wait.
Section.
Do we start that now?
Yeah.
It could be fantasizing escapades too. But so today at the gym, I'm working out with Seth, who's sitting next to me, and our other cousin, Jacob. And I saw this girl. It was so nostalgic. We're at the gym, and I see her. We make eye contact. She, if I had known what I know now, like, she is the nicest person in the world. I had a crush on her in seventh grade. I remember one day her shirt started slipping down to her bra. And I was like,
is this part real or a fantasy?
No, this is real. And I was like, I didn't know what was going on. I was in seventh grade and I was staring at her. And then she looked down and was really embarrassed. And I thought she might have thought I was a pervert. But she liked me. And then she married this guy that I would never have imagined her marrying. And I see her all the time. And I just found myself wishing I had married her. Have you ever had that experience?
All the time. I'm just kidding.
And she, and I, oh, this is the thing.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like, it's really easy to like have fond memories of someone, but it's really different living with someone day after day.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I was looking at her and I, you know how you're kind of stumbling when you're talking to someone a little nervously. And I'm like, well, you look buff.
You know? She did look
this
really
morning
buff.
You said that?
Yeah. And I was like, that's probably not the right thing to say to a girl. I should have said, you look fit.
She did look really buff though. Her arms were bigger than mine.
Yeah, she's like super fit. And like, I was feeling ashamed of myself because I'm just getting back into it.
That's funny because when I saw her, I didn't want her to recognize me.
Because you flipped a coin for her sister?
Because, yeah, I broke up with her little sister and I did it in the most dickish way you can imagine. And I remember that after I broke up with her little sister, I drove her home. I pulled into her driveway and what's her name? Your friend, your girl you're talking about?
Oh, Brooke.
She came out of the driveway and was like, Seth, Shelby just got asked to the prom by this other guy. So you got to hurry and do it tonight because like, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm not taking into the prom. You can talk to Shelby. She'll tell you all about it.
Oh, right after you broke up, that happened?
Yeah, right after. Yeah, the night I was breaking up with her, somebody else was asking her to the dance.
Oh.
And it was a kid that I flipped. It was so stupid. I don't know why I was so
What did
dumb.
You do? You've got to tell this.
So...
Seth, me and Seth him, was a typical like I knew, football player.
So I was dating her, and I knew this other kid liked her, and he wanted to take her to prom or something like that. I think it was prom. And he asked me, like, hey, I know you guys are dating. Do you mind if I take her to prom? And I was like, oh, well, actually, I was planning on, I don't know if I said this. I probably thought, like, well, I was planning on letting her go. That's funny.
Letting her go.
I was planning on, like, breaking up
giving
with
her. Giving her a pink slip?
And he was like, okay, well, let's flip a coin, and if... I probably was like wishy-washy, and he was like, hey, I'll flip a coin. If I win, I get to take her, and if you win, you take her, and that way
we really?
Get in each other's way. Yeah. So we flipped a coin. He won. I was like, whew, that worked out nicely. Like, for some reason, I didn't want to take her.
You were relieved.
This is what I was telling Andy. All these girlfriends from high school, like, I look back later, I'm like, why did I break up with her?
Because you were a dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, the language. But you dated Mary Hamilton.
So
you dated
I dated
Shelby Felix. You dated Mandy Romero. You dated who else?
Oh,
Trina Glick.
I haven't heard these names in so long.
Yeah, who else? Who am I missing?
I don't know. That's about there was this girl from Alta Bend
that, oh, she was Babe.
Yeah, and I didn't break up with her. I just stopped answering her phone calls. And I went on a road trip with you, Ben, to Colorado to visit Eric Bernkoff.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And when I got back, she was so pissed at me. She called me. Somehow she got me on the phone. She was like, you could have died. I didn't know what happened to you. Because I just
you didn't tell her you left?
Yeah, I just stopped like talking to her and I just went out of town. And
well, avoidance is a great way to like end things. Well,
I was just so immature. Like
when
I
we got back from that, when we got back from that trip, I went over to my girlfriend's house because we got back like, I think we came back a day early or something.
Angie?
Yeah. I pull up, go to her house and her ex-boyfriend's car is in the driveway. And like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like, she is the worst.
Well, what would you expect, Ben? You were gone for 3 days. So she's supposed to
be
lonely for 3 days.
Yeah, what's she supposed to do?
Days.
She wants to cuddle.
That was a theme.
So when I look back on my dating life from high school, I just feel ashamed at how immature I was. I didn't mean to usurp your dating life.
Well, you shouldn't feel ashamed because you dated and kissed all the hottest girls in my
But
high
you
school.
Just brought up that girl, and I was like, I hope she doesn't recognize me because the last time I talked to her was in her driveway
so
where I
your,
was just being a dick to
that's
her sister.
Your, karma coming back, right?
The only girl I don't want to ever see is the girl I took on her first date when she turned 16 and I ran home from the date.
What, you just left her?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That will tell that
Why
next
would you
week.
Do that?
Oh, wait, what happened? Oh, I think I remember this. Yeah.
The date was going really long.
And that's funny. This is reminding me of the movie we just saw, Gloria Bell.
Oh my. Oh yeah. Let's go right into that.
No, but tell me about your.
Well, let's move into what's the next thing.
Wait. You went on a girl. You went on a date with the girl, and then when she went to the bathroom or something, you just ran home.
No, my cousin went to a different high school. She was the Marriott side of the family. Okay. That you guys don't know where the yeah. Ball stood. So she had these twins, and they had a little sister that just turned 16. So in Mormon culture, you can only go out on dates when you turn 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're like, you should go out with her for her first date. So we do this long, like five course date. Like, let's go to let's go get food. Then let's go play games. Then let's go get dessert. Then let's jump on the tramp. It was just, you know how like those dates are stupid as.
And you were just done with it.
And I was done after a few hours, and I said something stupid, and my cousin's like, Andrew, that's so stupid. Go home. So I ran out the door and I ran home.
You're like, okay.
Because something similar happened in Gloria Bell.
Yeah.
And when the character just disappeared, I was like, okay, that, like, I understand the feeling. Like, I've been in a situation where I just want to leave. But
I've never done it.
But, well, not since I was a kid. Like, that's so immature. Like, as an adult, wouldn't you, like, go to the person and be like, hey, listen, I'm not feeling, I've got diarrhea. Whatever, you just say something. Like, I'm going to get home early. Sorry.
And he didn't answer his phone either.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And it's not like they were on their first date. They were, like, saying, I love you to each other.
They're like, she's, like, introducing him to her kids for the first time.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's move right into that.
Okay, so now we're moving from. Last week's movies, we discussed Us. We're going to move on to discuss movies out this week, which there was a bunch of them. We're talking about New to the Top 10 still, right? Because wasn't Gloria Bell New to the Top 10 last week? Love is in the
air. You come here a lot?
Yes. No, not a lot. I mean, sometimes.
What's your name?
Gloria. And I don't know if I'm
being foolish. Hello? Are you asking me out?
Okay, so Gloria Bell kind of snuck up on us. We didn't even see it till it hit the top 10. It's 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No way.
I know.
I still can't.
That's the critic score. The audience score is a lot lower.
It's because it's so artsy.
That is interesting, though, don't you think? The critic score is 94%. And we're going thinking like, oh, this is rated as good as Us. It's going to be great.
This is going to be amazing.
And then,
I totally get the ratings, though. I get why the critics liked it, and I get why audience members hated it.
Ben, you're more insightful than me, because I did not get why critics liked this. Tell me.
Please tell.
Okay. So the movie is about a woman who's, I guess it's like dating when you're older. She's single. She's got to be, I don't know, 50s, maybe mid-50s.
In real life, she's 58.
Okay. So she's late 50s. She's single, divorced. And, you know, she has a couple kids. And it's kind of like this, you know, you think about all the dating movies. It's usually like super hot teenagers or kids in college. And, you know, they're super attractive. They have the whole world in front of them. But this was, she's single and dating.
You know what Andy texted me?
Worried about a 401k and trying to keep her head up.
Right when the movie started, Andy texted me and said, damn it, this movie's about old people.
I feel so ashamed because I found it was just totally like I felt guilty because it made me question everything about being a man and the unfairness of it.
So Ben, you're saying this is like a perspective, it's instead of a young, beautiful person, we're getting like a real life late 50s. Like,
the whole movie was her in these, I guess, mundane situations. Like she's just driving in a car. There's nothing glamorous about it. And music's on the radio and she's kind of singing along. And then she's at work talking to a coworker. And then she's, you know, in her apartment doing whatever. But you know what really, I think I know why critics like this, because there was an uncomfortableness and kind of a sadness about that situation, and you had to face it. And in she, like, I felt bad, right? And it also, there were moments where, like, she was like, there were like these like kissing scenes and stuff. Like, I could not look at the screen. It was so uncomfortable. And I couldn't figure out why it was so hard for me to face it. It was like this, it was done so well. It like put you in an uncomfortable spot.
Yeah, that is true. It did do
that. It was done really well, but I think that's why people didn't like it.
It made you look into what we're gonna be, because let's be honest, we're only like look like Greek gods and teenagers for like four years.
Well, she, yeah. I mean, she's really attractive. And there was some intimacy things where it's like emotional intimacy. And it's like just being yourself and being comfortable in your own skin in these mundane situations where it's not glamorous. And it was hard to watch, but there's nothing like repulsive about it. It was just that emotional intimacy is like a difficult to achieve.
Do you remember that part where she's, what you've explained, she's older, lonely, she has these melancholy moments, and she, you can tell she kind of feels depressed. She sees her daughter with this young surfer, and then we're all thinking, oh wow, she's old and she's trying to date, how awkward. But the part that was interesting is it was it totally switched my way of thinking, because I'm thinking this lady's old, and then she gets with her mom, who's like older. And you're like, all of a sudden I'm looking at the 58-year-old like she's young.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so weird and so real. Like, that's how it is. And, you know, go ahead, Seth. I cut you off 7 times.
The scenes that stuck out to me were actually memorable because they were so dull. Like, there's a scene where they're eating with their family and she's like, do you want some olives? He's like, sure, I'll have an olive. Do you want an almond? Yeah, I'll have an almond. And I'm like looking at Andy like, what in the world are they showing us? Like, why... why are they even showing that? Like you were saying, Ben, she's just driving and singing along to herself in the car. I don't know. Like, I get that kind of feels artistic because it's not something you really see normally in movies.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's artistic about it, except for that it's unusual.
Yeah. I did not like this movie. And there were moments I was like, what am I watching? Like, what
we
is
too.
This? But it was done. Like, what they were trying to achieve, they totally did it. And I mean, as a married man in my 40s, it didn't resonate with me, but I'm sure her life really resonates with people, because she's just trying to keep her head up. And it's, some of these situations can be really sad. Like, how many people could you date who, like, kids in their 20s, they don't really have baggage, but the people she could date have like tons of baggage.
You almost can't get older without getting baggage, you know?
Yeah, all these scars and wounds.
Like, and she's like, she doesn't have much money and her mom's worried about her. She's worried about her 401k. She's in that crap apartment. So the other thing is, I was going to ask you guys, there was some message about that cat that kept coming back. Wait, are we going to do spoilers on this?
There's not really anything to spoil. It's just a character piece, don't you think?
Well, there is one spoiler.
But Andy had an insight about the cat right after the movie when we were walking out.
Yeah, I did have an insight about a cat. I have a dog, and a dog wants to be with you always. I leave the room and it's whining and crying. And the cat was like this, is very independent.
Couldn't care less.
It could care less about if it's alone or with someone. It feels like that sometimes with cats. Not all cats are that way. But she finally accepts the cat that she keeps it keeps sneaking in her house, and she puts it outside. And finally, at the very end of the movie, she accepts the cat, and it's either before or right after that that she's at the, no, it's right after that at the dance, the final dance. Some guy walks up to her and asks her if she wants to dance, and she says no. And she didn't need a man to be happy. She loves dancing. And then she stands up, and this was my favorite part of the entire movie. She goes and starts dancing, and it felt so free and beautiful the way she was dancing. Like, it seemed less like uncomfortable than like two old people dancing together. It was more like an acceptance of, this is who I am and I'm dancing.
Yeah, I had a different take on that scene.
yeah, you're actually wrong, man.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong.
That just sounded funny.
Because, you know, throughout the movie, she loved dancing.
She reminds me of Jenny. She like wants to dance all the time.
And then she went through that breakup, and, you know, the only time she was ever sad through all these situations is when her daughter left. You know, that's the only time she ever cried. But at the end of the movie, when that dancing scene comes, like, it's like perfect for her. Like, of course she's gonna dance in here. She doesn't want to. Like, she's so down. And she was, you know, the lyrics of that song are, it's like, oh, Gloria, are you losing your mind? Or something like that.
Yeah, Gloria, are you losing your mind?
I think the lyrics of that song were talking about her character arc, because it was talking about, she's down. Are you like doing okay? Are you going to go on, or you're losing your mind. It was something along those lines. And then she stands up and dances.
Yeah.
And like, so she slowly gets into it.
That was the answer to the song. Like, yeah, she's going to be fine. She's like accepted that I cut you off, Ben.
No, I agree with you. And it was kind of, it was sad because it's not like she achieved anything. She was right back where she started, but she was just dealing with the sad situation and moving on.
Did either of you guys get homesick on your mission? Because I was like extremely homesick. Like I would cry in the bathroom every time I went to the bathroom. And I remember the last time I saw Grandpa Ballsted was I was just bawling and hugging him. And then I got onto the plane. And I thought that part was really like kind of a sweet part where she drops her daughter off and then she runs as fast as she can to try to see if she can see her one last time.
Yeah, well, that was a theme through the movie. Like she was divorced. Her son's wife just kind of left to find herself.
Where's your wife?
That was Michael Cera had some great. Wait, what's it? Is that Michael Cera?
Yeah, Michael Cera.
Yeah, good comic relief for me.
What did she say, Ben and Seth? It was so funny. Where's your wife?
I don't know. She's out in the desert exploring herself.
That's it's like finding herself.
Yeah, finding herself.
So that was a theme. And she, even on her dates, that guy would just disappear. And then her daughter left. So there was a theme about
people
leaving.
Disappearing. But the cat kept coming back.
Yeah, so that was interesting. She didn't want the cat, but it kept coming back. And she tried to find ways to kick it out, and it kept coming in. And then at the end, she, like you said, she accepted the cat. And there was a scene where she's naked on the bed, and then the cat's a hairless cat naked next to her. And I thought, oh, is she the cat? Like, what's, there was some symbolism there.
Yeah.
Oh, you think she was like part cat?
Because that was an interesting cat. It was a naked cat.
No, there was a message there. And I'm not sure I picked it up, but.
It was too deep to understand. But there was a message.
No, I don't know if it was too deep.
I'm just joking.
There was a message there. I'm not sure I picked it up, but I just recognized there was some sort of message with the cat. And when she accepted it and was naked on the bed with it, that's, to me, that symbolized something.
Well, there was a book I read in college, Has Modernism Failed? And one of the things it brought up is that a lot of people dislike art because sometimes they see it and they think the artist is like playing a joke on them. Like they don't get it. And so I was just playing, I was teasing you with that background, you know, like anyway.
So this movie is really interesting because the Rotten Tomatoes score by critics is 94% and the audience score is 44%. So audiences did not like it, but critics loved it. So the disparity is 50 points between critics and the audience.
That's because the critics are like God. They understand what's really art.
So just to give you a comparison.
Well, it was art.
Oh yeah, it was artistic. But just looking at other movies, like Us, the disparity is about 23 points. So there's still a disparity. Critics liked it more than audiences. Captain Marvel, critics liked it more than audiences as well. Captain Marvel is an 18-point disparity, 78 versus 60 for the audience score.
Audience was 60?
Yeah, audience is 60 points for Captain Marvel. But I don't know if I've ever seen one that's 50 points apart. I just think it's interesting because it's not really there to entertain you.
It's there to make you think about.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when I walked out, Seth, I was thinking like, that made me so depressed because like a man can always date like younger women. But I was thinking, unless you're like my mom and dad, where my dad worships my mom, like if you did not have a good marriage, it could be real, or like someone that loved you, unless you were really comfortable being alone, it could be really depressing getting older as a woman.
You think specifically for a woman? Is that not true for a man?
I think it could be for a man too.
Oh, I think it's certainly for both.
Yeah, I do. But I sometimes feel like overall, like, I don't know, maybe I'm...
Well, didn't you think, well, like compare this movie to like a superhero movie where it's really enjoyable and easy to watch movies about people who have super strength and are super strong and have all these beautiful attributes. And then this was just...
It was
uncomfortable and it was, you know, it was mundane, just like keeping your head up. And she didn't really accomplish anything, but she just went through some crap.
Yeah.
And she was just keeping going, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That was a very good point.
Okay, should we move on from Gloria Bell? Or do we... Yeah. We don't need to go to spoilers, I don't think. There's not a purpose.
But should we tell them about when she kills the cat?
And they grill it? Yeah, they have a barbecue.
And then she feeds it to her ex because she was so mad at him.
Or maybe when she went to the wedding, that was what was in the box. It was a wedding present, just a dead cat.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the part where she shoots the guy with the paintballs. That part was pretty cool.
I think Okay, I think they put that in there to win over women who are angry at men.
Yeah, it was like a female empowerment moment.
It was just like her revenge. And I think that was just to like placate the audience a little bit.
And he seems so pathetic. He's like, I love you. And then he's like covering his eyes.
And then his daughters and wife are so pathetic.
The whole movie, you did not respect him. He seemed so pathetic in so many ways. Like he acted so helpless in this situation with his kids that were dependent on him.
And he was trying so hard not to be a total jerk to him on the phone.
Yeah.
Like the way he talked and
he was married. He had to be married and lying, right?
Yeah, Andy said at the end that he was actually married. This whole thing about him having to take calls and stuff was just a cover for him.
I don't know. But at the end, the ex was in the house. She came running out on crutches.
And she was defending him. No, his daughter came out on crutches. The bigger girl was his ex.
It was funny to see all those ladies running out.
No, wait. I thought his ex ran through the glass. I thought his wife or ex-wife ran through the glass. And
I don't know.
Okay, there were two bigger girls yelling, and then there was a woman on crutches. I don't know. I don't think he was married.
I didn't get that from the movie, but when Andy said
it, they don't answer it. If this guy's going to take off on three different dates and disappear, it's not put it past you that he's lying.
Yeah.
Well, he also couldn't, he wasn't, bold enough to just say what he was doing to his family. And compared to her, she was living her life authentically, and he was
living a lie.
He was felt compelled or obligated, or he couldn't deal with the situations.
Well, Ben, that's why it makes it seem like maybe he was married, because he wouldn't admit to his family. He wouldn't say anything about her. He could never fully commit to her. He had to like run off all the time because he's like balancing these two different women in his life.
I just didn't feel like he was married.
Sometimes I look in the audience of the movies I go to, and I noticed there was like no one in the room except me and Seth over here giggling, and then there was this
these two guys.
There was this single old lady, like seven seats away, and
she was so old. She was probably like 45.
I felt no. She was like 55. She was like the same age of the character, and I just kept thinking, like, oh, what if she's really sad watching this because it's her life?
It's too close.
We're sitting there laughing,
and we're just over here laughing like some douchebag. Like
I sat next to like an older couple, and you notice in movies, this happens a lot in movies, and it's like one of my little pet peeves. There will be some sort of scene happen, and then there's like a 2 or 5 second delay, and it finally registers to some of the audience members. They're like, oh, I see what's going on.
That's
so
me.
There was a
movie.
Lot of that going on. It was like super delayed. There was the moment when she pulls up in front of the garbage cans. She opens the trunk. I'm like, okay, she's going to throw it away. She pulls the bag out of the, starts walking over the garbage, and this guy's like, oh, I'll bet she's going to throw that away. Like, yeah, 10 seconds ago, they made it pretty obvious. But that was going on through the entire movie. Like, it finally clicked for this ding-dong, and he'd say it out loud.
I take it you're one of those people that can't stand people that ask questions and talk during movies.
No, it's not that. I've just noticed that, especially in a large audience, some people take a long time for it to click until they respond. Like,
we call those people dumb. Sometimes it takes people a long time.
Well, you notice some people take a long time to laugh at stuff. Like it takes a minute to laugh or to like their little reaction.
Yeah.
Like it took some processing time.
Okay. Let's not spend 2 hours talking about Gloria Bell.
Because we didn't like it.
Let's move on to something better.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
There's nothing better this week, let's be honest. But let's move on anyway. So Gloria Bell and Us were the only two to enter the top 10 over the weekend. Movies opening this week, Hotel Mumbai.
Terrorists have laid siege to the landmark Taj. With as many as 1,000 guests and over 500 staff trapped inside.
We should try to gather whoever we can. Many of you have families at home. There is no shame in leaving.
I've been here 35 years. This is my home.
I have not caught up with that yet. I just played the trailer for Hotel Mumbai. It's 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. Have either of you seen it?
No. I want to this week.
I wonder if it's going to get in the top 10. It looks like a decent action movie. It just nothing. Yeah, I don't know. It might. Who knows? It's 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
it looks like a terrorist movie. I guess that's action.
Another movie out this week is Unplanned.
The one thing that all experts agree on is that at this stage, the fetus can't feel anything.
Sorry to bother you, but they need an extra person in the back room. Are you free?
I saw it. It was like it was twisting and fighting for its life.
I just played a trailer for Unplanned. It's 58% on Rotten Tomatoes. Andy and I both just saw it like a couple hours ago.
We have stabbed our eyes out. Wait,
is it really in the top 10?
No. Did I say that?
Projected.
Yeah.
No. It's just coming out this week. We already covered all the top 10, so I'm just going through now the movies.
But isn't it projected to be in the top 10?
It's projected to be number 6 this week.
Okay, just to be clear, I think you guys only saw this because you knew it was going to be a big steaming pile.
That was part of it, yeah, because I knew it would be political. I thought it would be a good discussion movie. When we saw Vice, I remember before it came out, I was like, this looks like so stupid. They're going to villainize Dick Cheney. And that's how I felt before this one. And I was like, well, maybe if I have like these strong feelings about it, maybe I should just go see it. Did you see it, Ben?
No, I couldn't even make it through the preview.
It was everything that I feared it would be.
Well, I actually, for me, it was like watching Fox News. I agree with what they were saying. Like, I don't agree with abortion. And so for me, it was like, I agree with it. Like, okay. But it wasn't like a fun movie to watch at all. Did you know what I mean? Like, it was boring.
Yeah. The part that made me want to stab my eyes out is when it gets into the office politics she had with like her superior.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I get enough of that at work. So you got in a fight with some other woman at work. I don't care. Like that. I don't need to see behind the scenes. You don't need to prove you were right. I don't care.
It was clear. It was over the top. Abortion is bad, right?
Yeah. No abortion doctors were thoughtful. None of them were empathetic. They were all just evil guys shoving women out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Like he totally
And they probably said, oh, you just want to kill babies, right?
And the woman in charge of the abortion clinic, not the protagonist, but the like her boss, was like Cruella DeVille character, like no feelings. She says, oh, I'm giving you this job because you didn't cry when you saw these baby fetuses on the ground. Like she's just...
Yeah.
Well, they were bodies. They were baby bodies.
It's like, oh, we only like people who kill babies and like it. Like, I mean, I'm in support of abortion. And so that's not
You're
so
in
much why I want...
You're in support.
I'm pro-choice.
Okay, got it.
So, but aside of all that, I don't know. I don't think I can handle it.
It acted like it was showing you both sides, but it wasn't. It didn't get into any of the, well. Yeah,
it wasn't an attempt to have a real conversation.
Exactly. It wasn't poignant. It wasn't going to make you thought provoking because this is a really complicated issue, you know? Like,
see, I don't think it is complicated, but there are people that
I think
don't,
it is.
Yeah, I know. I know this is like political, and I had one girl chew me out on Facebook one time because I even.
Well, Andy, I'll tell you this. It's a lot easier issue. It's a lot less complicated if you're a guy, you know? Like, it's not complicated at all if you're a guy because you don't have to bear any of the responsibility associated
right
with it.
Except paying child support.
Not really.
Well,
I mean,
okay,
but I just don't, you know, I'm not gonna anyway, I'm not gonna convince anyone. I just don't think abortion's right, you know. So but it that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, but if you're making a movie about abortion though, wouldn't you want to like wouldn't you want to be thoughtful about both sides?
Like, would you want to be thoughtful about like Hitler's side of view and you
wait
know what I mean?
hold on
but that's what some people think, like it's
absolutely I would to know what the Germans were thinking.
I'm talking about that's true.
Didn't he rise to power in Germany? Don't you wonder like what was going on in their brain? Something made sense.
Yeah
like they put Hitler in power, something made sense.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is there are people that believe that it's equal to like what they're doing, what they did with the Jews, you know, kill them. But like,
you mean
way
abortion
more.
Is equal to killing
the
Jews?
Holocaust. The Holocaust? Abortion equals Holocaust. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing? Like, well, first of all, this is obviously very controversial.
Yeah, obviously.
But what makes these discussions really tricky is introducing other things that are also controversial, like comparing anything
Nazis
to Hitler or Holocaust.
Oh.
It just muddies up the whole waters of the conversation.
Yeah,
yeah,
it
like
always
the,
wins arguments,
like the,
too.
Like how the left always calls Donald Trump a Nazi or a racist. The conversation ends right there.
I don't have a spot in my brain for politics. Which one is left? What does that mean?
In the movie, they do a good job. What you'd expect a movie that's propaganda to do. They want to show everything that'll be emotionally jarring for you. So seeing a fetus through the ultrasound, like wiggling and like trying to get away from the probe and like, you know, twisting and trying to like survive, that's like very
Well, yeah, no one wants to see the cow get shot before we eat it.
And then there's scenes in the movie where there's blood all over. And I'm like, that doesn't look realistic because, like, if you're bleeding, you don't just, like, walk around the house and create a trail of blood. You just, you get, like, yeah, like you get, like, a tampon or something. Movie? Yeah, yeah. There's, like, this scene where there's blood all over the place. They end the scene, she's laying on the floor in the bathroom, there's blood all over the walls and the toilet and the floor and stuff. And I'm like, that, I mean, no matter how bloody somebody is, they're not, that's just not how it would happen.
Well,
they're trying to create these visuals that are like visceral,
yeah,
and they get these responses. And it's, so it's not based on logic at all. It's trying to get your like heartstrings, trying to get you emotionally invested in this argument.
I did think they did a really good job of having her justify though why she was doing it, and you could find yourself. I kept thinking a lot about Mormonism, like because her whole family didn't want her to do it, and she was trying to justify why she was doing it, and it was like, I didn't really like the movie. All I wanted to say is that I just, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like one of those heated. What I will say though is,
it's like if you want to see a movie that really like it validates your beliefs and perspectives,
that's a
then,
good one.
Then it's a good one to see. Yeah, right. Sure,
exactly.
It's like going to church. Right. It's going to make you feel better. Well, obviously,
that's their target audience. Just like when they made, what is it, God's Not Dead? It's obviously targeted to people who want to reinforce.
It's not going to turn around somebody that's pro-choice. It's not going to convince them.
Yeah, and
well, it might, you know, just like the character in the. But I feel like the character in this movie was never pro-choice. Like, I feel like she was surrounded by family that was against it, and she was against it. She joined Planned Parenthood because their mission statement says they want to reduce abortions,
but
giving women other options.
But don't you think sometimes, like, all the ugly things in the world are kind of hidden, so that we don't have to actually think about it? And I know that, like, I'm just saying, where is the place to like show people what happens in the slaughterhouse or what happened, you know? Or it's just this hard. And the other thing that girls say, it's none of my business about abortion, but I sometimes feel kind of hurt. Like if I had a kid and, you know, it's part of me, and if some girl decides to kill it, like, don't I have a right, like as part of that baby's parent or not? I don't know.
I don't think legally, but you would hope you'd be involved in the decision.
Yeah. Well, obviously legally I don't, but that's just like ethically, like, isn't it part of me too? Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just, I don't think it's as clear cut, like it's their choice.
It's controversial.
Yeah.
And I see this issue as, it's not so much about the baby. I see it as access to healthcare. So if you're in the situation and let's say abortion's illegal, but that's not going to stop them. That's just going to make these really dangerous home. People are going to try to do it themselves, and it's super dangerous.
It will stop them.
I'm not speculating that.
That's naive to think it wouldn't stop them. I mean, some people might try and do abortions with baseball bats, but I mean,
or a hanger.
For the majority, it would stop them. If there's no legal option, they're just not going to do it. Andy, have you read Freakonomics?
No, I feel ignorant.
Okay, so in Freakonomics, there's a chapter that's, I guess, somewhat controversial, but he's an economist. And he wrote like this report about the drop in crime rates in the early 90s in New York City. How there was a significant and sharp drop in crime.
Oh, is it by Malcolm Gladwell?
No, but Malcolm Gladwell
refers it a lot.
Yes. His book. Let me think. They're related somehow.
He refers to that book a lot in one of the other books I read.
Yeah, I think even in Freakonomics I refer to Malcolm Gladwell's books.
Okay.
But anyway, they talk about this sharp decline in the crime rate in New York City. And this economist wrote a paper about explaining that, making a very compelling case that it was a result of the legalization of abortion. And it was very, really controversial because people didn't want to think like, no, it's because we have more policemen. No, it's because we did this or that. But he basically argues it's just because abortion was legalized. And we think of, like, if you're pro-life, you imagine that some woman is like, oh, baby's not convenient, let's just kill it and move on with life. But the pro-choice people would say women are not making this decision casually, and they probably know better than anybody else in the world whether they're equipped to take care of a new baby. And so it kind of, like, part of how you decide on it is whether you trust the mom to make this big of a decision for herself and her, you know, as for her kid or not.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's a counter argument.
I guess as a man, I sometimes feel really annoyed by the arrogance of the world to say that we don't have a right in the abortion, because it is part of my baby. And so if I had a baby, like, I should have be able to say, like, I should have to sign if that baby's going to get killed. Like, why can another person decide?
Well, we're not talking about a baby being killed, but talking about a fetus. But yeah, I totally get your point, Andy. But that's just, The people who disagree with you have better reasons.
But now,
to convince the legal system.
Now we're getting off into like more like what we think about it. But as a movie, yeah. I think you hit it right on the head, Seth. It is definitely propaganda for anti-abortion, right?
Yeah.
And it's like on steroids of that. That's what it is.
Well, which
is
what I was worried about. Either. That was pretty clear from the preview.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like it's deceiving anybody. I did read some reviews on IMDb, and it's like, oh, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, you should see it. It shows both ways. And I was like, oh, that's surprising. Well, so then I went to the movie, and I'm like, okay, when are they going to... They pretend to show the pro-choice, but they do not.
But she... Where someone might think that is what is the journey of her trying to explain it to her peers and her family, that why she's doing it, you know, and she explains that kind of all the... Anyway.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of it.
But I doubt her explanations in the movie would satisfy any pro-choice advocate.
Well, yeah. All pro-choice people would never see this movie. Yeah.
No. But if you were just to isolate her arguments and say, what do you think these arguments about it? I don't think that would be like, I don't think a pro-choice person would make those type of arguments.
I don't know enough about that, but you're probably right. Like, I don't know all the, you're probably right. But, I did notice as we were leaving, and we noticed that there were all old people in the theater.
And the theater full of old people.
Yeah. And it reflects like maybe the old time values of older people. Like they're just...
Wait, but this was a matinee though.
Yeah, right? That's true. That could have been why. But it is a Friday. I mean,
it was Friday at 3. Yeah.
You ain't got no job.
That's true.
Okay, did you recognize that, Andy? That quote?
You ain't got no job.
It's Friday. You ain't got no job. We're getting high. Did you ever see Friday?
No.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, is that 90s movie?
I was born in the 70s, Ben. No, I'm just
okay.
Joking.
Are we done with Unplanned?
Yeah, I had to step back, and it's not about my politics of what I think. It's about what the movie is portraying and how it's presented. And I think you're right. It is definitely propaganda, or for that side.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the critic score is 58%. So this is an inverse of the other movies. So the critic score is 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience score is 89%.
Makes 100% sense though, because the only totally people that are going to be seeing it are going to the ones that like it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's adverse selection.
But didn't I tell you during the movie, I think the critic score is going to be under 30%. That's what I thought.
Yeah, you did.
Because it's just not.
So you're surprised at how high the critic score is.
Yeah, I am.
So let me guess. She works at the clinic. She figures out that the evil abortion clinic people are, I don't know, misleading the public, or the babies really do feel pain. And then she has a change of heart. And what was it? I was trying to tie it into that God is not dead, where in the preview was like, I heard a voice, but I don't even believe in God. So what could it be? It was like, I heard God, but I don't believe in him. So that doesn't make sense. It was like this total flawed worldview. It's like a man trying to write how a woman thinks is like totally wrong, you know?
So there were some things in there about the Planned Parenthood clinic that I believe they were criticisms that I totally believe. One was that a girl had something go wrong with her procedure. I think the doctor performing the abortion had unknowingly pierced her uterus. And so they like put her in the, you know, wherever they put the girls after they do the abortions and put her on drugs. But then she was like, all this blood was coming out of her. And they had to rush her back into like the operating room and get the doctor back to try and fix it. But it looked like she may not survive. And so the girl that's the protagonist was like, we need to call 911. We need to call the ambulance. We got to get her to a hospital. And her boss was like, you are not going to call the ambulance. If that happens, we have all these protesters around our clinic. They're going to take photos. It's going to get online. You know, it's going to. And I was like, yeah, that's totally gross that would happen, that they would like basically sacrifice somebody's health because of public image. But I believe that would happen because, you know, because of the backlash. If some girl went in for an abortion and something went wrong and she got carted off to the, you know, she'd gotten an ambulance headed to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Another thing that struck me as probably true that was a criticism of Planned Parenthood was that they show that she goes to like this what do you call it? Like this conference with all the directors of clinics, and they're pushing, they're trying to double the number of abortions they're doing. They're like pushing for numbers. And she stands up and says, wait, our mission statement says we want to reduce abortions by giving women better options to prevent them from getting pregnant in the first place. And the her boss, basically, after the conference, she yanks her arm, pulls her into a corner, and she's like, listen, the way we make money is through abortions. And the way like fast food restaurants, they don't make money off the burgers. They make money off of like the low, like the high margin items, like the soda and the French fries. And abortions are like soda and French fries. And we got to stay in business. And your 401k match, that comes from abortion money. So you got to push these abortions.
So the narrative is that they're just hungry for more abortions and they just want to churn out as many as they can.
Well, they're doing abortions to make money. Yeah, that's the narrative. But right. I believe it 100%. Don't you? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
I totally believe that's the case, though.
I've often heard stats that the most, I don't even know how they can know this, but the population that's mostly affected by abortion is black kids that are aborted. And so in a way, it's kind of a racist thing because, you know, all these black kids are getting killed, you know, well, wait, unborn.
I've heard that conspiracy theory, too, about blacks.
So racism from their
parents?
That
it's a way of controlling the black population?
Yeah.
We had the huge family debate about abortion like 5 years ago.
Oh my gosh. No, I wish I could have recorded it. We should start one up again this year during family dinner.
Well, it started out with gay marriage.
Yeah, I remember the gay marriage one.
Abortion.
Okay.
It was the worst.
The worst or the best? It sounds like it'd be the best.
Well, I mean, it was just annoying because it was like me against everybody, and then it was you and me against everybody else. And then, you know, I don't think anyone benefited from it.
Well, we have good memories from it. So
that we have fun memories.
Well, the one that I've always started is the gay marriage one because whatever. Who cares? We don't need to talk about that. Sorry, Brooke and Mom and Aaron and Amber. Who else is listening that's going to hate me right and you right now? For our political
it was reasons. All Andy's. Andy made us say that.
Okay, so just on Wikipedia, there's an entry called Black Genocide.
Is it real?
Okay, after abortion was more widely legalized in 1970, some black militants named abortion specifically as part of the conspiracy theory.
Says the Supreme Court ruling is being used to wipe out an entire race of people.
Pastor Clenard Howard Childress, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I understand that you are the founder of a pro-life website called blackgenocide.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why did you start this website?
The numbers staggered me. And so African-American women make up 12% of the population, but 36% of the abortions. And for every 2 African-American women that get pregnant, one will choose to abort. 52% of all African-American pregnancies end in abortion.
But there is a group of people that think it's to get rid of black
babies. That abortion is like this black genocide conspiracy. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I don't
want to spoil the ending, but
I do want to know if you guys agree with me, though, that doesn't a man have some type of a right since it's part of him, too?
I think just because you engaged in an act that could have a baby, that's the point when you could decide to be involved or not with that risk.
But
it is a woman's body.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, so, Andy,
other argument is if you kill a woman with a baby, you get convicted of 2.
Right. Well,
murders.
That's with consent. You don't have the right to take away anyone else's rights.
I can see that.
The argument for pro-life is that the babies are people and we're disenfranchising them. They don't have a choice about whether they get to live or die.
And if it is, but if they were really people, then it is a huge crime in my opinion. But
yeah, if they're people, it's murder, right?
Yeah. And so that's the whole debate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily one side or another.
But you can
see. My whole life I've been basically pro-life. Like, how could you? I mean, it's murder, you know? They're people and you're murdering them, but...
But I can see, when you brought up that point about, you know, wanting to see what was happening with the Germans during the time of the Nazis and why they would, you know, I think that's a valid point. Like, there's always, like, another side of the story and it's not as easy to judge. And I will say, I don't judge anyone that's had an abortion. I think that life's really complicated, and we're emotionally and at different points. Right. But for me, I just don't feel comfortable with it. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good. I agree with you there, and I think like if you're really interested, what really convinced me was hearing the stories about people and their reasons. And if you're interested, I think if you read into people's reasoning for doing it, I guarantee it's different reasons that were ever brought up in this film.
Yeah. Yeah. So Andy, but to answer your question, what should the man have any choice in what happens with the fetus? I definitely feel like the man should have something. I don't think it's like 50-50 though.
Cool.
I think maybe it's like 99% the woman and 1% the man. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like the man should have,
I don't know. I think,
legally though, I guess he doesn't, right? The man has no right to the outcome of the fetus.
Until it's born. And then he has to pay for the rest of his life. Money.
You say that like you're bitter about your domestic support.
Yeah, this sounds like it affected you personally.
No, I'm saying it's that's a good law until it actually is born, and then now the man now we're gonna punish the man, but before he had no rights. You know what I mean? So it just seems like.
Well, hold on, Andy. Hold on. Hold on. I gotta point out a couple things. It sounds like you are in favor of abortion by that argument, but secondly.
Well,
your time to weigh in was before when the sex happened.
Well, you could say the same thing about the girl. That's a dumb argument. You could say the exact same thing about the girl.
No,
well,
because why it's did you her have, body.
Yeah,
it's her body.
But you could say like, well, you shouldn't have had sex. It's your body. You chose to have sex.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't have sex. I'm saying when you entered into that act, there was an inherent risk
that you would
that
you would not get a control whether she killed the fetus or not, but you would have to pay for it
be pregnant or not.
Decided to do it or not. Anyway.
So in theory, it's like, yeah, the man and the women are both making consenting to this outcome. But I mean, the reality is there's thousands of single moms and not many single dads, you know, like women, this is like a life altering thing that happens for them. And the man may or may not be
committed to. And they could end up in poverty the rest of their life because
the kid. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know it's complicated, but
obviously they love their kid, but. It could keep them impoverished their whole life.
It's not something that we're gonna like get. You know, I'm not trying to convince anyone. But yeah. I just sometimes feel like it's like, how dare you say anything about this because you're not a woman, you know? And sometimes it's just like, well, I'm part of society. My mom's a woman. My sisters are women. If I have sex with a woman, part of that fetus is me. It was. You know. So anyway, I just let's move on.
Let me just say that I understand what you're saying. I feel it too. I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, and I'm not
even to bring it back to Jordan Peele's film Get Out. I was watching all his interviews afterwards, and after a few YouTube videos, I'm like, am I even allowed to like have an opinion on this movie? Because I'm a white guy, you know. And the theme of the movie.
I know. It was like, the racist stuff was like really.
Yeah, I love the movie. I totally loved it. But then I was like, I don't think I'm really allowed to weigh in on it because I'm white.
But that happens with everything, especially as a man. We don't have any right to like, we're white and we're a man. We should just shut up and not talk anymore.
I don't agree with you there, Andy.
No, but that's how sometimes you feel. I, as a man, I feel that way sometimes. Like I have to like qualify everything. Well, I know I'm a man. I know that I'm white, but I have an opinion on things, but I know that they're not important and they don't matter, but
I feel like right now in society and in political correctness, there's like this pendulum swinging back where like women and minorities are saying, hey, we've had white men decide our fate for long enough, and we need to basically silence that group of people for a little while we like can decide our own. Like when we watched that movie about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, maybe that's a bad comparison.
I like this.
But she was saying like, she quoted somebody that said, some woman that said, well, I ask no favor of my opposite sex. The only thing I ask of men is that they take their foot off of our neck, you know, basically like, I think it's important. Like, I think it's totally valid for you, Andy, to weigh in on abortion, and me. But I think historically, like, there's been no voice from women.
Yeah.
And there's been no voice from minorities about about their particular struggles. And so,
I guess my opinion is if a girl got pregnant and she was going to abort the baby, and we had gotten her pregnant, or not we, I mean, I had gotten her pregnant, I would rather say, look it, I'll pay you, $1,000 a month or $2,000 to carry the baby. When it's born, I'll give you $10,000. Just give me the baby. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I know what you mean. You want to feel like you have a say in this because it affects you so
well,
much.
Well, I would. No, that's honestly how I would want. Yeah. I would want my kid.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, that. But what if you're a black woman and you had a one night stand with some guy and you don't even know his name and you don't have his phone number and you never see him again?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's a different situation. Nobody's offering you $10,000 to deliver the baby.
Well, and I'm saying that maybe I couldn't even offer her the money. I'd just say, look, you carry the baby, I'll take it, I'll take care of it.
It's a bait and switch.
No, I'm just saying there. I think there are a lot of women that would be like, okay, yeah, if you really will take it, I'll give it to you, Anyway.
We've talked about this a long time.
Yeah, we're okay. Feeding a fed horse.
Yeah.
We're bringing home the bacon.
Oh, the bagels.
The bagels.
The bagels. Okay. Okay, and that is unplanned. We loved it. No, I would give it, I'd give it like, I don't think it's totally invalid. I'd give it like 30% if I were to rate it.
So between 8 stars and 10 stars, Seth, how many?
Between 8 and 10?
Remember so I can choose. Cruise?
Yeah, I remember that. She's like, you're going to get a survey after to rate our service. So, between 8 and 10, how would you rate our service?
Oh, that's not manipulative. Oh,
a 9? Okay, just every remember that like number 12. When you get the survey.
13.
Well, wasn't it sad, though, that when we dug more deeply into it, they're like, well, if we get good ratings, we get one day off because we work 7 days a week for 5
Did you guys get your
months.
Ratings? Did you guys fill out the surveys?
Yeah, we did it in the airport.
And I wrote their names and wrote that they brought me caramel every night. And he told me I had soft hands.
One of the questions was, did any staff member ask you to give them a good rating?
True.
Yeah, that was.
That was.
And I said yes, and they said, which group? And
you did? Because when I read that, Ben, as a lawyer, I'm parsing out every word. Did any staff member ask you to give a good rating? I was like, well, nobody asked me to give a good rating. They just asked me to do the rating.
Yeah.
So I actually said
8 and 10.
Yeah. Okay. So that was unplanned. Another movie out this week is Beach Bum.
And the words come out.
It all stops now. The foolishness.
You gotta publish your novels.
And if you mess this up, it's jail time.
Wish me luck. I'm off to write the next great American novel. I may have a gangbang when I get back. I will invite your mother.
Thank you, Mr. Moondog.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Beach Bum starring Matthew McConaughey's butt cheeks. It's 51% on Rotten Tomatoes.
He's so sexy.
What do you have for us, Ben?
It was only 51% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So I saw this last night. So you guys are going to see it this week, and we'll talk about it next week. So I'll keep it really brief. I really want you guys to see this so we can talk about it.
Yeah, I'm planning on seeing it.
This movie came out of nowhere. It seemed to come out of nowhere. I first heard about it like, a week and a half ago?
Well, remember I told you I saw the Red Band trailer for it with my two girls when I took them to see like Captain Marvel or something?
That was this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I already had this like negative prejudice against it.
Yeah, I can see that. But it was, if you enjoyed the preview is on par with what the movie's like. It was so enjoyable. He's just like on this, he's smoking weed the whole time. He's drinking the whole time. He's just out of control, reckless, but so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, he's a good actor. I like watching him.
Matthew McConaughey was really good to watch in it. He was really enjoyable. I was laughing so much in it, and it was just, he's just out of control. Just such a goofball. And Snoop Dogg is in it, and he's...
Was he pretty good?
Well, he's not really an actor.
Yeah.
So Snoop Dogg's there, I'm like, oh, okay, so, and they called him Lingerie. That's his name in the movie. So they call him Lingerie. I'm like, oh, cool. He's actually playing a character. He's not playing himself.
Yeah.
But they show him in scene and they're playing you know, Snoop Dogg music, and he's smoking weed. And so he wasn't himself, but he was like a version of himself.
Huh.
But he actually played a real character.
He doesn't seem like someone that would have a really diverse acting.
And he didn't really.
How was Zac Efron? Because he looked like he might be pretty funny in it with
He was in the movie for like 5 minutes. Five or ten.
Dang. I really like, what about Jonah Hill? Was he in it? Was he really a presence, or was it just like a short?
Jonah Hill plays the Beach Bum character as like his agent. And so
they have phone calls
throughout the movie. So he's in it. Jonah Hill was trying to do like this Southern accent.
Oh.
And it was just off-putting. It felt like some high school kid, like in a drama class.
Yeah, that's how I felt in the trailer watching him do it, actually.
But I really enjoyed this movie. I've never seen anything like it.
Hmm.
And there were moments I just felt like I was blown away. Like, holy cow, that was so cool. Because the way they did the shots, like he's having a conversation with somebody. Well, you saw in the preview, he's like super drunk. He's like super high. So he's having conversations with someone, but it's like fragmented. And so even though in the movie, like audibly, the conversation flowed really well, visually, they were all these different scenes and different angles, like throughout the day with this person.
So
it really worked with, like, he's just on a bender, you know, and he's like, I felt like a lot of the movie you're experiencing it as he is. It was cool.
Okay, I actually want to do a deep dive of that next week if we can find it playing.
You guys got to see it so we can talk about it.
Okay, and that is Beach Bum. And the final movie out this week in wide release is Dumbo.
And now, introducing our world famous flying elephant.
Is that a monkey in your desk?
Just for emergencies.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Dumbo. It's 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. I haven't seen it yet, and I've actually been kind of avoiding it purposely because I'm not really looking forward to it, but I am going to take my kids. But the last preview I saw actually looked pretty, I don't know, like it's got a good cast, like a really strong cast. It may not be as dumb as the old cartoon is.
What was the people's review?
Of Dumbo, 63%, and the critic review is 51%.
It feels like it's just going to be a kid's movie. And I'm just going to be totally bored in it.
Well, have you gone back and watched the original Dumbo? It is so weird. have you? Time. There's like these really weird scenes where they're like dancing and stuff. It's like, it's really strange. It almost doesn't even carry a narrative.
Is it like that Winnie the Pooh where he has a psychedelic dream?
That's what I was trying to say, yeah. And that's how all the old...
Well, Pinocchio was like that too at the end. Exactly, yeah.
It's like really weird. Dumbo is like really...
My favorite line in a Disney movie is, "Get up, Bambi!"
So
that was random.
This has Danny DeVito, who I love, Ava Green, who I really like as well, Michael Keaton, who's classic. He's like Batman. How can you not love that?
Yeah,
and
Beetlejuice.
He's having a renaissance right now, Michael Keaton.
Oh, he is Beetlejuice. Yeah. Oh, did you see what movie was Michael Keaton in?
He was in Birdman.
Birdman.
Yeah.
Did you see Birdman?
No, I heard it was really good though.
Is that with Sandra Bullock?
No. I don't think she's in it. Birdman is Michael Keaton. He's like a stage performer, but he's also like the Birdman. It was just kind of like the Batman.
Yeah.
Like in real life. And it was really cool.
Like he's a has-been actor. Is that what he is in Birdman? Like he used to play this big role, Birdman.
Right.
But he...
Which is similar to Batman.
Yeah.
He's a stage actor. But he actually, like, I think he can actually fly around or something. Like he actually is the Birdman.
That's kind of funny because right after Birdman, he was in Spider-Man Homecoming playing this character with these giant metallic wings, like flying around. So it's like...
You should see... I mean, Birdman is kind of artistic, I guess. But it's one of those movies where I've never seen anything like it. And it's not like Beach Bum, but Beach Bum, I felt the same way. Like, Andy, you stepped away. You got to see it.
Really?
The whole time he's drunk and high and just out of control. It's like the happy parts of those moments and like just having fun.
We're going to try and do a spoiler review next week of Beach Bum.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, will you enjoy it if you're not high or drunk is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So that covers all the movies out this week in wide release. There's three movies coming out next week in wide release. First is Shazam.
You have bullet immunity.
I'm bulletproof.
You're dead.
Sorry about
out your window.
Have a good night.
You're welcome for not getting robbed.
Oh, hey. What's up? I'm a superhero.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Shazam. It's 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. I actually did, Ben, what you had been doing on Fandango, how they give you early access passes. So I was able to take my whole family on Saturday to see Shazam, and we really enjoyed it.
You saw it already?
Yeah, on Saturday. Yep.
It looks really dumb to me.
Oh, Ben, it's not. It does look dumb. Like when I first saw the preview, but it's not dumb. It's a perfect illustration of like a kid getting powers and exploring the powers the way that a kid would in real life. There's this clip in the trailer that like me and Rocky have been laughing at for like the last 2 months where he's in this like convenience store and he's just barely like turned into a superhero. By the way, if you're not familiar with Shazam, he's a kid. He's like a, I don't know, 13-year-old kid, maybe 14, but he gets this power. And so if he says the word Shazam, he turns into an adult. So he's like a full grown man and he has all these powers.
In a suit.
Yeah. In a suit. Yeah. In this really ridiculous looking suit with like this giant,
like cheesy looking.
Yeah. Super cheesy with this big like lightning bolt that glows down the front of it. And so once he gets his power, he's obviously a foster kid and an orphan because that's just all superhero kids are. None of them have parents. That's just a given. So,
do you want to do a deep discussion next week? Because it comes out next week.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
I
just want to tell you the scene where it's in the trailer where he finds out that he has bullet immunity. And that's in the trailer too. Like these bad guys come in to rob the convenience store and he's like, "Hey guys." And so the robbers like start shooting at him and his friend that's with him is like, "You have bullet immunity. Awesome." And they show him trying to like test out his flight. And he like flies up 30 feet and then falls crashing to the ground. And he's like, "Okay, I've almost got it."
This is all on the preview.
Yeah. This is all in the preview. But in the preview in the convenience store, after they shoot him and he finds out he has bullet immunity, he grabs the robbers and throws them out the window. And then he's walking out with all this junk food from the convenience store. And this like really pretty lady walks by and he's like, "Hey, what's up? I'm a superhero."
"Oh, hey, what's up? I'm a superhero."
And so Rocky and Sienna have been like saying that like for the last 2 weeks, like, "Hey, what's up? I'm a superhero." Like, it's just like this, it's the way like a kid would act if he was really a superhero.
Yeah.
Wasn't
like such a fantasy at that age.
Yeah.
It's still a fantasy for me. Anyway,
it was a really fun movie. My kids were more excited than I was for it, but I had a lot of fun watching it too. And it's getting really good critic reviews. I watched a couple YouTube reviews on it and I read a couple reviews online too. It's at 93%, so pretty solid.
Rotten Tomatoes?
On Rotten Tomatoes, yeah.
So the only downfall I have of this movie is that guy's on Chickmunks, right? The Alvin and the Chickmunks?
He is?
And he's also in Chuck. Isn't he Chuck? And I get really jealous of him because he's kissed Yvonne Stravowski, the actor on Chuck.
I don't know either of the shows you mentioned. And I don't know who Yvonne Stravowski is.
Oh, Yvonne Stravowski? I'll show you right here.
Wait, are you talking about the kid actor or the adult?
I Feel Pretty?
This is Yvonne Stravowski. She's 3 years younger than me. She is on Chuck. And the Shazam is on Chuck. He's
with the adult version? Or the kid version of Shazam?
No. Chuck is a series about an undercover spy or something. Chuck,
okay. So, but Shazam has two actors. There's a kid actor and an adult actor.
Oh, Yvonne Stravowski has nothing to do with them except that she's kissed
Chuck, which adult actor is it? The adult one? Okay.
Yeah. He's also on Alvin and the Chipmunks, I think.
Huh, I don't remember him from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well, I could be quoting the wrong man, but
I was a little surprised how high the reviews are on this. I definitely wouldn't put it in the league. Here's the thing. Like, superheroes now are taking themselves so seriously. Like, we just saw Captain Marvel. She's, like, as serious as a heart attack. And that's how all these recent superhero movies. This one is, like, totally the opposite. It's, like, so, we're just having fun. Like, the camera's rolling. We're just, like, having a good time. And so it's really refreshing from a superhero standpoint.
Yeah, just so you know, Zachary Levi is an American actor and singer. He played Chuck Bartowski in the series Chuck and kissed Yvonne Stravowski several times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Starred well, as the title
is this your
character
journal?
In Warren Brothers Pictures, DC Films, Shazam.
So that's like the notable thing about his character is that he kissed this woman and
she's my dream.
That's his
woman.
Claim to fame.
Did a 14-year-old write that review? Like, what's
no? That was from Wikipedia, but I just added the kissing
part. And he just added in what he thought was the important.
Okay, you were ad libbing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one's good.
Do you know that I once painted a painting, because I did art, that was on the title, it was a portrait of Yvonne Stravowski, and it said, "I would like to kiss Yvonne Stravowski for Christmas."
For Christmas.
It was a Christmas like art sale.
I don't know who she is, but it sounds like she's amazing. I'm going to have to...
She's basically like Blake Lively, but much better.
Huh. You know what I just found out? When, I don't know, we were on a cruise or something with some friends, that Blake Lively had a nose job.
Yeah.
And she looked like...
That's right. Who was talking about that on the
cruise?
Was
that Jenny?
One of our fans.
Was it your... It was such a big crowd. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even do that many autographs. How many did you guys do?
Oh, only like 20 a day. Yeah, I mean... okay, so that's Shazam. Another movie out next week in wide release is Pet Sematary.
In the woods today, L.A. discovered a charming little landmark. The Pet Sematary.
A place to bury our pets and remember them. Might seem scary, but it's not. Perfectly natural. Just like dying is natural.
Ooh, I want to see that.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Pet Sematary. It's 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is not my thing. Horror movies are not normally my thing, but I'm like on a high because of Us and Get Out, so I'm kind of excited to see it.
Let's see it.
Did you read the book, Andy?
No.
That'll be a fun one to go to, because
the preview for this, the most recent preview, has a lot more info.
Oh,
it makes the movie seem a lot more scary.
Oh.
Because the first previews I was seeing over the last few months was like more of a teaser.
I don't know anything about, like, is this a sequel to something? Or
I think it's a remake of the, was it the 80s one or 90s?
Do I need to do anything to prepare? Like,
you teased me. You said, I think this one will be really fun. And then you stopped.
Oh, I was going to say there's movies that I'm like, okay, I want to take my kids to this one. There's some that I'm like, I want to take
Andy.
But the horror movies, I like don't know who to go with. Yeah, that'll be a fun one for us to go to together. Because Karen would not go with me.
Yeah.
To a horror movie.
I can't. And I wouldn't go normally, but it's my job to go.
When you're making as much money as we do from this podcast, you're like, it's the kind of thing you're like, this is what you get paid for, bud. I gotta suck it up and see this horror movie.
Yeah, like I was talking to this girl that I saw at the gym that I'm going on a date with tomorrow, and I was talking to her like I was late to the movie today, and I was talking to her like, well, listen, I just got to a meeting, I've got to go.
A meeting.
Oh, you should have invited her to come to the
movie theater.
Was at the movie theater.
I could have sworn, Andy, when you were talking to her at the gym, this is a different girl now, right? The younger one?
Yeah, the younger one.
Does she have an accent? Is she like from somewhere?
Oh, I think she's deaf.
Oh, that's cool. I'm just joking. Oh, dang, I love the way deaf people talk.
Seth, I know what you mean, though. Like, Andy meets a girl, he's going to go out with her. You're like, well, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
Exactly. No, but it was really interesting because
did you see that on Arrested Development?
No.
Well, that
Michael's going to go on a date, and Job's like, "Oh, really? What's wrong with her?" And Michael's like, "Well, nothing. Well, yeah. I mean, she's blind."
Well, anytime like a girl likes me on and starts talking to me on Tinder, I'm not on Tinder now, but if she's somewhat cute, I'm like, okay, what's the joke? What's wrong with her? Because you got to imagine that like every cute girl on Tinder has probably like 1,000 messages in their inbox from guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
But
I don't know. I wonder about that. You just feel like they have a lot of options.
Yeah, but I feel really ashamed because I this girl's 25. The girl I was hanging out with on the cruise was 50, and the married girl I saw was 40. So I just don't
know. You are in the perfect age right now.
All options are open to you. You can date a 50-year-old and a 25-year-old in the same month.
Yeah, same time.
At the same time, yeah.
No, I'm just joking. I don't really go on very many dates. I'm more of talk.
I thought you were going on a date with her tonight.
No, I'm taking her to lunch tomorrow. And I mean, it's kind of an awkward situation because I was teaching college art. I was an adjunct teacher, which basically means you're like an illegal immigrant working for the college.
Why? Because they don't pay you?
Everyone thinks you're like a full-time teacher, but your pay is like 1/16th of what the...
Oh, really?
I mean, it's just not as good. But it's still fun to teach college. But I kid you not. I would go to my art class. They're 3 hours long. This girl was 18, the one I'm going on a date with tomorrow. Now she's like 26. But she was 18, and her boyfriend was right off his mission. He'd sit in his chair and draw, and she would massage his back while he drew. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Is she free right now?
She seemed pretty excited to see you.
She just gives back massages when you're just goofing off?
Well, no, I'm saying she didn't give me a massage. I was the teacher, and I'd look in the back of the room, and this her soon-to-be husband.
So it's awkward because you...
I just was like, this guy's a genius. He's like,
this is the girl you're going on a date with, right?
Yeah, because she married...
So she was engaged?
She married him, and then I'm assuming they got divorced because I'm going on a date with her tomorrow.
No, I'll bet she's still married.
I don't know. No, I think she's divorced.
She waited for him at the gym for like an hour before she was done when we were walking in, and then she just sat there waiting for Andy.
So no, she wasn't. She apologized.
We don't know why she was, but it seemed like that's maybe why she was.
She is divorced, and she's always talking to different boys in the morning, and she always qualifies it to me like, oh, Andrew, I'm talking to them because they're going through a divorce and I'm giving them advice.
Oh, so she has to explain, I'm not interested in them. Yeah. This is political.
Yeah. But I'm like, I just like, oh, it's okay. Like, that's awesome. Good job.
Okay. And that's it for Pet Sematary. We had a tangent, but I'll just move on. Pretend it didn't happen. Okay.
You're not going to delete it though, are you?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I'll compile it all under one heading and play background music.
You never delete stuff you say that you're going to delete.
That's not true. I bleeped out some spoilers that I accidentally leaked last week.
Well, there have been a couple times where oh, this has been a long tangent. I'm going to take it out.
Okay, but then maybe I said, okay, maybe I'm going to take it out.
Everyone likes tangents.
That's better.
Let's just leave the tangent.
Maybe I'll take it out. Okay, another movie out next week is The Best of Enemies.
Would you look at that crazy white man?
Folks in this town want blacks to stay in their own schools. I'm here to protect my family. So all the better is you don't get in my way.
Well, I'm going to get in your way.
We're here trying to understand each other for once and stop fighting.
This here does the talking for me.
I have a Bible.
Well, then you ought to know.
Know what?
Same God made you, made me.
I just played a clip from the trailer for The Best of Enemies. This is a civil rights Ku Klux Klan. What is this?
Yeah.
The leader of the Ku Klux
Klan is going, they're trying to...
This is school, what was it called when the black kids and the white kids went to the same school?
Desegregation.
Desegregation, yeah. I have a different perspective on that after listening to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast. Have you heard that, Ben? Revisionist History? He has a podcast about desegregation, and it makes you actually kind of regret it.
Well, Malcolm Gladwell is a genius.
He is so smart.
Oh my God. I have a crush on him.
This does look like it's going to be good. It looks really good.
Yeah.
It does look like it's going
to
be good.
It does to me.
The only reason I don't want to see it, like the premise is really interesting, but the only reason I don't is because, did you see Black Klansman?
No.
It was hard to watch because they kept saying the N-word all through it. It was about the same time period, and he's a black cop, and he's trying to infiltrate the Klan, and he becomes a member so they can catch him doing stuff.
Wait,
and
he's a black cop? That gets into the Klan? How does that even...
You'll have to see the movie.
Okay.
But and then at the end of it, it was like the racism in it was just so heavy. And then at the end, they're like, oh, guess what? There's still racism going on right now. And they show recent clips of like these marches. And there was the one where the person drove a car through a group of people. So they're showing all these like horrible racist stuff. It was just heavy, you know?
Like, and so heavy material or heavy-handed? Like,
heavy material.
Yeah, yeah.
Like hearing the N-word over and over and over, it was like, okay, I get it. Like, I don't, I'm getting uncomfortable.
It's kind of,
you know,
like it's seeing babies killed over and over and over again. It's like, I get it. Well, I know what happens.
I mean, who wants to see that? So my only fear about this is like, that'll be really heavy. Not like, we got to ignore this part of the history, but you know what I mean?
It's like, the trailer makes it seem like
the
feel good
movie.
The
racism just brings me down.
Well, I mean, the concept of this is like a white Klans member getting turned around by a black woman.
And don't they fall in love?
It's, yeah, it's giving the impression that it's going to be a real...
Like they fall in love and like have a...
No, I don't think they fall in love.
Well, they become friends. Did you see in the preview? They're still in touch now and they're... So they gain some sort of respect for each other.
Okay, that is it for Best of Enemies. And that's it. Whoops. That's it. Wide release this week or next week. That was Zeus barking. Hey. Okay, one more?
No, that's it. We did date of the week. The date of the week is that I actually asked a girl on a date for the first time in 5 months.
Okay, we covered...
5 months? Andy, I just saw you kissing a girl like 2 weeks ago.
I was on a captive boat. I couldn't leave, so it wasn't a date.
Is the girl from the gym that you're going out with?
And I don't even think it's a date. I just said, let's catch up and go to lunch.
Yeah.
Is that?
And then you're like, and after lunch, I want to show you the bed I built in the back of my pickup truck.
Oh, you probably won't be married by next week anyway.
So. I don't think I'm ever getting married. It's just I've been cursed because I was, anyway, never.
Okay. Or blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be worse. We are now beginning our deep dive discussion portion of the show, which will include spoilers for the following movies. Not Gloria Bell. We're not going to do a spoiler section. We did review that. Not Unplanned either, because there wasn't really much to spoil, so we're not spoiling that either. The only spoiler section will just be a few more spoilers about the movie Us, which was great. If you don't want to hear spoilers, then stop listening here. However, you might consider staying for the spoilers because, according to a research study at the University of California, spoilers make you enjoy stories more, not less.
Is that real?
You haven't seen it yet? You're going to love it.
Stop spoiling it, you vile woman!
Great. Now I know everything. I don't even need to see it anymore.
But did you notice during the movie that I did not pick up on this while I watched it, but I guess the little boy's hand gestures would control his tethered. Like if he lifted up his hand.
Oh, you didn't notice that when he puts him into the fire?
That's exactly that. I totally missed. I was like, why did the little boy go into the fire? I didn't understand the little boy was controlling him.
Okay.
Well, you picked up on it?
They all had links, but his was the strongest.
And I was listening to some people like speculating on theories, and a lot of them were making a good case that the little boy had actually been switched too. Because you know that there's a scene at the beach where he disappears for a while and his mom starts freaking out.
Yeah.
And he wanders over towards the mirror room, but you don't really see what happens.
So how did
that
one
explain the scars though?
Yeah. So in the one YouTube video I was watching, this guy, if I play a clip, I'll credit him, but he's saying it actually wasn't then, it was a year earlier that he had been swapped out. And that's why the little boy couldn't get the beat when they're listening to the music, and he couldn't, like, I don't know. He made his case. Maybe I'll put the clip in. It was interesting, but it was enough. You know, there are some breadcrumbs.
Yeah, I got to see it again. I just have to see it again. And there's also something at the very... We're in spoilers, right? There's something at the very end when the little boy figures out his mom.
Yeah,
and
it looks like that.
They have some sort of knowing look. Mm-hmm. There's a look between in which I felt like there was something unspoken that I was supposed to pick up on.
Oh, that could make sense.
Yeah, that was part of the evidence that the boy was. And did you notice when the one little boy died in the fire, the Red stole the real little boy?
Yeah.
Like, as though they were saying, like, he was her son. Like, she was trying to get him back because he was her real son.
I gotta
watch
it again.
She had raised him.
Ah, so that's why she didn't, like, kill him or something.
Exactly, yeah. So instead of killing him, she was like trying to rescue him. She took him down to her home.
I wish the preview did not have that fire scene where the boys stand up.
It was such a great visual, though. Like, I can understand why they...
It was a cool visual, and you notice they played it in reverse in the movie. Did you notice the flames?
No,
it's all in reverse.
That's smart.
So he's walking out of the flames in real life, but in the movie, it shows him backing into him.
Oh, interesting.
That's in the preview, too, but I just wish they didn't show it, because the whole movie, I just knew, okay, there's going to be a daylight scene, and there's a big fire he's going to be walking into. You know what I mean?
Well, I could have sworn, Ben, that they showed a clip of the two little girls in the mirror room, and one of them reaching out and strangling her in the previous.
I think so.
Because out of context, doesn't really tell you anything.
Yeah,
but it turns out to be like this huge twist in the movie.
Still. I mean, they want to make a good preview. I just wish they did not. If they're going to show clips, it's got to be in the first like 10 minutes of the movie. Because you can't have me knowing about this car that's on fire that a kid's going to walk into. Because halfway through the movie, I'm like, okay, I know that scene's coming up. What happens?
But if they played it in reverse, like it, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. It didn't ruin my enjoyment one bit.
It didn't bother me that clip was in reverse. I just thought it was a cool effect because it made it seem surreal.
What? So Jordan Peele wrote this, right?
Yeah.
So the way I know something's good or like good art is when I like sitting there thinking, I wish I had made that movie. Like it was so good.
It was so good. And Get Out is the same. It's like I had seen it had really good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, I really want to see it. But it's rated R and Mormons don't watch rated R movies. And so I guess I won't watch it. But I like really wanted to see it. And I never did.
Well, I was, my sister was just texting me during the podcast asking me what movie she should see. And I was trying to think. I saw two crappy movies the last 2 days. And then I was like...
You don't want to tell her. My parents asked me too. I'm like, well, the best movie out right now is this rated R horror movie.
Yeah. And then I told Allison.
Mom and Dad would not want to watch that.
I was like, Allison, you should see Us. And she's like, is it a horror? And I'm like, yeah, trust me. I did not want to see it. I was dreading it, but I loved it. Because I don't like horror movies, but I love this one.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel like I'm warming up to the genre because like Pet Sematary's coming out and I'm like, hey, Us was really great. So maybe I'm excited to see Pet Sematary now.
Yeah.
There are some scary movie previews out right now.